Get ready for Marquette Athletics. On the court, on the field, and on campus. This is specialty Marquette coverage with Homer. Live from Marquette Athletics Back to School Block Party. On the home for Marquette Men's Basketball, 94.5 ESPN.
At the Marquette Barbecue, and we start with women's basketball, Kara Consuegra. Though I don't remember your name, I just remember you as assistant to Terry Mitchell, and you were yelling and telling her what to do. First of all, welcome back, and you invented Charlotte, but I'm assuming this was easy to come back. Am I right?
Thank you for the warm welcome, and yes, it was. Being away at Charlotte, I left because I wanted to be a head coach. But the entire time I was away, I always kept my eye on Marquette because this place was really special to me. I mean, I was here 7 years as an assistant and during some really good times during the Terry Mitchell era. And I think when they gave me the call and gave me the opportunity to come and interview, you know, I said to my husband, all right, if this goes well, like, we're going. And he was like, yeah, we're going, absolutely. And luckily it went well.
You won when you were here before with Terry.
Yeah, we did. We did. I was here during, like I said, some really great years of Terry's career, and she had a ton of great years in her career, but we had some really good teams, and those were challenging years too, because that's when we moved into the Big East, so we had to take, you know, that big jump and that big leap. And at that time in the Big East in women's basketball, I mean, you were talking 8, 9, 10 teams getting in the NCAA tournament, and so those were some really extremely challenging years. But we had some amazing teams: Crystal Ellis, Angel Robinson, two of the great guards that in the history in the Hall of Fame here of this program. You know, I was their position coach, so I was in their ear all the time. it was fun. It was a really, really great memory.
So you're an assistant, then you go to Charlotte. You're the head coach. You were there for 13 seasons. So how were you as a head coach when you had the chance? And are you still the same? Is it different than you thought? Or, no, this is just what I thought, and this is what you do.
Any person that you talk to that go from being an assistant to a head coach, in my opinion, will say it is not what I thought it would be. Because you get that job, and you're thinking, okay, I'm you know, going to be out there running my program and doing all the basketball. And the truth is, like, the basketball is about 10-20% of what you're doing. Now you're managing people, and you're assembling a roster, and you're fundraising, and you're coordinating, and you're budgeting. And so I remember when I first got hired, I was like, I don't have time to go do player workouts. I can't. And that was my favorite thing when I was
an
assistant. I loved it.
Wait a minute.
It's true.
Don't you have it? No, but don't you have someone under you that
you
can
do,
give all those responsibilities
to?
But
that's the fun part.
Oh, all right.
You know, like, I want to be on the court. I'm a basketball coach.
I know.
But now I'm worrying about this meeting and this meeting and this meeting.
You can't have somebody else go to the meetings?
Well, some of those you can't.
Oh, okay.
Coach,
all right.
So. It's different because of the responsibilities are so different, and the managing of your staff and the program is so different. So that took a little bit to adjust to, certainly. But I would say, the second part of your question is, are you the same as you were when you got hired? Absolutely not. I was 32 years old, and I thought I had to prove everything to the whole world, and I belong here, and I should be a head coach. And where now I'm just so much more, like, relational driven and care, you know, worrying about what's great for the kids, and if I do things the right way and I'm right by them and I treat them well, like, everything else will take care of itself.
Is that true?
I do believe that. Yes, absolutely.
First year coach, Kara Consuegra, again, after a number of years at Marquette under Terry Mitchell, and there's no way anybody can talk to any coach without addressing the changes in college basketball and college sports, name, image, and likeness, and recruiting, and just what goes on.
Yep.
There clearly, to me, are going to be changes once whatever the court situation is, where schools will be in charge of giving the players money or however that works.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's still this name, image, and likeness, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything to you. You've got to deal with the way it is.
That's right.
What can you tell people as far as the way it is? What's the worst part, or what do you deal with? Or,
you know, I'm not that type of person that's going to talk about what's the worst part. It is what it is. Like, to me, like, I don't need to waste time worrying about, oh, kids, you know, if my opinion is kids shouldn't get paid, or now I have to do this. It is what it is.
Correct.
So as a college
coach, so what's the best way to do it
given it is.
I mean, you just have to adjust. You have to understand, like, what's important now. You have to understand when a kid comes on campus, you need to be prepared with the financial offer that you're going to give her. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
That's just what is expected at this point in time. And it's always interesting when you hear from a lot of, like, more old school folks who have supported programs for a long time and they don't like it. Well, number one, we can't control it. And number two, it's not the kid's fault. Like, this is, they know that name, image, and likeness is here. They know that they can get paid. And like anything, when you have that opportunity, you should take that opportunity. And so to me, it's okay, this is what it is. And, you know, we're going to do the best we can to present the best financial offer that we can. However, I will say, I will not talk to a recruit about financial things right away. And that might be to my detriment. But because I'm still a believer in, I want you to come to Marquette because you love Marquette and everything about Marquette and the people here and how special this place is. And on top of this, we're going to be able to provide this for you. Those are the kids that I want at Marquette. And so that's kind of the way that we approach it.
I shouldn't have presented it in a negative way because I've talked to people and they go, Homer, it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you mean? It's like, they hire people at Marquette all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not in basketball. I mean, they hire people. They make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And they whatever the factors are, they factor them. And now it's happening with players. So yep. It's nothing new in terms of the dynamics of it. It's just figuring out the way to do it. And I suspect that
absolutely
that you gave one of the answers.
Yep.
Before that becomes an issue, I want to know that someone loves Marquette, just as it's been for the university to pick a professor or pick a plumber or anybody.
Absolutely.
You decide that, and then you go from there.
Agreed.
And I would think the tougher part is, or a part of it is, that everybody's one and done, potentially.
Absolutely. And so now it's not just about, you know, recruiting future players. It's about retaining your roster.
Right.
And that's where it goes back to when I talk about a different coach that I am today, like the relationship piece and pouring into kids and spending time with them and making sure they know that we really care about them as people is so, I mean, it was always important, but even more so now, because if kids aren't feeling that type of love, they're quick to go right to the next option. It doesn't necessarily mean it'll be a better option, but it's just easy for them to pull that trigger now.
So your approach probably makes NIL not as big a factor as it might be other places, because that was the way you looked at it before that became a part of the equation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and again, to us, it's like, all right, NIL is like the icing on the cake, the cherry on top. This is what we're going to do. But we're gonna create a great relationship. We're going to treat you really well. You're going to have an awesome experience. We're going to do right by you. We're going to help you get better at player. We're going to give you every resource that you can to be the best version of yourself on and off the court. And guess what? Then hopefully you make a little money along the way.
I won't mention the person, but the person said, Homer, calm down. It's okay. It's different. College sports is going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
There are different things, but, and I would assume you would say that just come to, just, it's fine. It's
it
okay.
Is.
It's different.
Yep.
But whatever you liked before, you can like exactly the same way now.
I agree. I mean, I think the one hard part is, and I've heard this from a lot of people, well, I don't know who the players are, because each year the players
right.
are different. The players are different. And there's some truth to that. But you also love Marquette. Right? And so
right.
that should be part of it, too. You come to the games because you love Marquette. And if it, regardless if it's a player who's been here 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, whatever that is, they, right now they have Marquette across their chest. And that should matter.
And I would say, I haven't gotten the percentages, the majority, not as many transfer as people think, I would say, relative to important players or some. But if you're not playing somewhere, as much as you like it, you have an option to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I... just Homer, it's not that bad. Just people and right, am I right? So like,
I agree. Again, it's regardless,
it's different.
It's just different. It's
right.
just different. And different doesn't mean good or bad. It is what it is. Adjust and understand. I agree with you. College sports is going to be fine.
Right.
You know, it's a great thing. It's always been a great thing. It's going to look a little
and
different.
Watching the kids grow,
yeah.
Clicking and mature. It's
yeah.
You're dealing with the same. Nothing's changed.
Nothing
for you.
Changed in that aspect.
All right. This is your first year. The team, I know somebody came from, you aren't the only one that came from Charlotte.
That's right.
You have a player.
That's right. I brought our point guard at Charlotte. She was with me last year. She started her career at Michigan State. Her coach, I think she retired after the season, so that's why she went into the portal. And then we were able to get her at Charlotte. When I got here, the remaining kids on the roster, we didn't have a true point guard. And I thought right away, okay, I gotta get Olivia Porter here with me. It's a kid I trust. I know what she can do. She's gonna keep getting better. She can play in this league. She can lead us. And I was really, really grateful that she wanted to come with me.
I feel like this is Hoosiers. You know, what do you play man to man? What's the style? What sort of basketball are people gonna notice right away in terms of what's important to you?
Well, the number one thing people are gonna notice is our kids are gonna play really hard. They're gonna be gritty. They're going to be tough. They're going to have that blue-collar Marquette-type spirit to them. And they're going to outwork, out-hustle, outplay the best as possible. So that's number one part of our culture and who we're going to be. You know, the second thing, our team is built to be really fast. We can get up and down. We've got some really fast guards. We've got some long, lean posts. So we are trying to build a foundation and a culture of we're going to beat you with our speed. Get up and down, get the ball ahead quickly, try to score in the first 6 to 8 seconds on the shot clock. That's going to be number one for us.
How well can you do that in your first year?
We'll find out. No, I think we can. I mean,
okay,
the advantage is now, right, thinking back when I went to Charlotte, there was no summer workouts. You show up, you meet your team, and you say, okay, I'll see you in September. Well, we've been working on that for the entire summer.
Right. No one knows the rules on workouts
yeah.
or any of that.
So
there.
You get that time in the summer now that gives you, you know, as a new program or new coach and trying to recreate the program, on, you know, in the way that I want to, it gives us some time to kind of work on that. So, yeah, I think it's possible. I think it's doable. I mean, you know, honestly, I'm more concerned about, you know, the half-court offense, the chemistry we'll have. We have – you know, for those that don't know, on our roster, we have 6 returners from the previous staff, and we have 6 newcomers, and we have almost an entire new coaching staff. And blending all of that together in terms of our chemistry and our language and our, you know, what the expectations are and how to find, you know, how they can play together on the court, that's the harder part. We can run all day.
All right.
We should.
It's been 13 years. I'm curious when you came and go, but it's the same, or... wow, some things have changed. Which is closer to the truth?
I would say it's closer to the same. I mean, obviously there's some great enhancements, improvements with the business building and I don't even know what they call the building across the street from the Alp. I got to learn the initial,
right.
But where they house lacrosse and golf and that weight room, that building is tremendous. For all of our student athletes. So, you know, there's a couple really great enhancements, but, you know, overall, when you walk through here, you're like, man, this is a lot of the same, and I think that's a really good thing.
Kara Consuegra, the first-year head coach at Marquette, but after 11 years under Terry Mitchell from 04 to 11. I did not know this, that you were the first person in the Iowa program to score 1,000 points and 500 assists.
That's right.
Which means I'm required by international law to ask you if you met Caitlin Clark. I mean,
well, so shouldn't it be, has she met me? Because I was the first.
No,
I was the first CC.
No.
I was the first CC. That's what I like to tell people.
I have Brian Belag.
She's
told him
the second
to think,
CC.
No. She's in the clouds.
I agree.
And you were
I agree. I think she broke my assist record as a sophomore. So
but I'm
blew it
know,
out of the
who
water.
Who was better or who achieved?
Fine. No, there's no question about who's better.
No, she's achieved a level that yeah. I mean, I remember was it Cheryl Miller?
Mm-hmm.
Many, many, many years ago that but this isn't about just basketball. This is exposing
what she's done for the game.
Yes.
It's incredible. I mean.
And I think, I'm not an expert in the WNBA, she's quick in the game. I mean, I don't, even in a pro game, her ability to assist, and she reminds me of Kolick in that she has the ability to throw such a strong assist from anywhere on the court, and I think that's quick in the game, but I mean.
I agree with you completely, because everybody talks about her going to the WNBA and scoring. I was with you. I said, no, what she's going to do is affect the game and her ability to create for others.
I just think you need to sell that and get her to come talk to your team.
I should. I'm
yes.
going to work on it. Now,
yes.
that, now that I'm in a proximity of where she'll be, I'm going to work on it.
I mean, you can say, look it. Whatever you did, I was first.
That's
so,
right.
And she seems nice. And so,
yeah,
all right, any last
ambassador.
Word? Because I always think this is a time where people get to know you. They see you in an environment different than when you're coaching. What do you And, you know, the mic is yours. What's the last thing you want to say to all the Marquette people anything?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would say just, you know, when you talk about it, was it easy to come back here? Yeah, it was easy to come back here, and that's because of the people here. And, you know, I would ask that all the people out there, all the people listening, come out and support our team. We have a great group of girls. We're hoping to get our schedule. So when I was hired, we had no games officially scheduled. So it's been a huge challenge to get our non-conference schedule completed in a way that's going to help our team be successful. But we're very hopeful that that will drop next week. So buy season tickets. Come out and support us. Be true to what I've said, like what brought me to Marquette. It's the people. It's the support. It's the community. It's Milwaukee. Come out and support these young ladies because, again, I don't know if we're going to win or lose. We're going to win eventually. But we're going to play hard, and we're going to make the people that come and watch us really proud of us. So,
well, welcome back, and I'm sure there will be a lot of people who go, yeah, I remember you. I remember you.
Happens all the
you
time.
You were yelling at Terry all the time. Welcome back.
Thanks, Homer. Kara really appreciate
Consuegra,
it.
The new women's coach, basketball coach at Marquette. I'm not sure what's next, but I'm not sure they'll be as good as Kara. Next. And I am Homer. It's women's basketball. Skylar Forbes and Olivia Porter. I don't know who's going to go next, and I don't know what they're going to say. Take it away.
Hi, my name is Olivia Porter. I'm from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I'm a junior, and I've moved 9 times to 8 different states.
Oh, my.
Excuse me? Your parents are in the military? What?
No, my dad coaches football, so...
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what about all the different places you've lived?
Oh, so I was born in Arkansas. Then we went to Oklahoma, and then Louisiana, Tennessee, Arizona, Texas, North Carolina, Alabama, and then back here.
So your father is a football high school, college?
Collegiate coach, yes, sir.
Oh, okay. At
UNC.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
where?
No, I have so many questions now.
Okay.
But so you're the child of a crazy college football assistant coach, or has he been a head coach?
He has been a head coach at Memphis, but that was for 2 years.
Okay, so am I accurate, or is that unfair to say that about your father?
No, he's pretty crazy, yeah.
Okay, but I'm sure he's a great father. So how did his involvement affect you other than going to various different places?
I think it helped me a lot just because he knew already the gig and how college coaches talk with recruitment and what's really real and what's really...
What did he tell you?
Well, he was just like, don't get caught up in everything. Make sure you're going to the school for the school and what they have for the major, not necessarily the coaches, because, you know, the coaches can leave. And so in case that happens, you have to love the school, you know? And so he was just telling me about that and just culture in itself and just to be surrounded by great people so that you can accomplish great things together. But he's a big academic guy, so any school with great academics, he was on board. So
I'm also guessing he lets you play.
Mm-hmm.
He's not over-coaching.
No. Well, I'm not my brothers. They played football, so they had the rubber end of the stick, yeah. So I play basketball. He doesn't know much about that or, the technical things, so I get a little slack, but...
What is the one thing you know you can't do because it would make your dad most irritated? This isn't even necessarily sports. This is everything.
Oh, everything? I guess not give my full effort in anything because, you know, that's not a great representation of them and what they've instilled in me. So just give great effort. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You know. And so what's he like? I mean, I should be talking more about you, but I think... Mm-hmm. For people that meet you, there's no way they can not know more than anything else. You've lived everywhere and lived the life of a daughter of a college coach. And the pluses and minuses. Not everybody wants to live in 20 towns. You've done it, and it doesn't seem that it's really, you feel like it's bothered or been bad, and that there are almost some pluses to it. Am I right?
Yeah, there's definitely advantages and, you know, negatives. I think just moving around, you get to see so many different cultures and so many different people and learn, different things. So I think that's a positive, but obviously, the relationship aspect and not knowing necessarily your next time, you'll move again. It's just hard to establish relationships, which is why I'm kind of, quiet at first when people meet me, so...
Sorry, you've been at Michigan State, Charlotte, and now Marquette, right?
Yes.
What? Why, you're laughing.
Third time's a charm. I made a TikTok about this, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Got you, girl.
The TikTok?
Yes.
Oh, it was just like this, like, I don't know. It was one that was, like, introducing. It was like, hi, this is my teammate, Liv. And I was like, hey. And she was like, she's moved three. She's been to three schools in 3 years. And I was like, don't say that. So, yeah, that was the whole gist. It would make sense if you, you know, knew the trend. But.
So what's the toughest part about that?
Just
what's
again,
the best part?
The best part is just being able to start over and just be you and how you envision yourself and everything like that. I think, like, for Michigan State, it was just different because I didn't really play a lot. So just coming to Charlotte and being able to reestablish myself, it was very important for me and just my confidence. So.
And now you fall on your coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, what's the one thing everybody needs to know about her? What's the one thing you told your teammates and said, let me just give you a little heads up on this?
Oh, nothing bad. I think
I didn't say it was bad.
I just said she's very loyal. I mean, she takes care of the people around her very much so. So once you in her circle, you in her circle, and she'll look out and take care of you.
Skylar Forbes? Come on, you had to ask her, right? We have somebody who played for our coach.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right.
We can see it, so it's good to have.
You were more than willing to let her go first. Well, now, introduce yourself and everything about you, though I bet you haven't lived in 30 places.
I've only lived in one, but I'm Skylar Forbes. I'm from Toronto, Canada. I'm a sophomore, and I was a gymnast growing up.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I did it for, like, maybe 10 years.
And tell us more.
I don't really remember much. But, I mean, it was fun. It was a really disciplined sport, and I think I was able to carry that over to basketball. But definitely going from an individual sport to a team sport, very different culture, especially, like, gymnastics culture, basketball culture is so different. But, I mean, I like this sport so much better, so.
Yeah. You're from Canada.
I am.
When did Canada get so good at basketball in terms of the number of players?
I don't know.
I mean, did you?
I feel like.
How young were you when you started playing basketball?
I started playing my freshman year of high school, so in ninth grade.
And? Excuse me? You wanted to.
No, you
what
just
What made
so
you laugh?
Surprised.
Yeah.
Don't you think most people playing college basketball would have started sooner than that? How old were you when you started basketball?
Oh, I was probably like six.
Six? Mm-hmm. So how did it happen? You just got taller?
Well, yeah, I got taller. Had a little incident on the bars, and I called it quits. And then I tried trampolining for a little bit because I wanted to stay in that realm. But I saw my brothers playing basketball, and I was like, I want to be better than you. So then I picked up a basketball. Yeah.
And where does it go from there, Kat? Are you AAU, or do you come to the U.S. in the summers?
I started club first in the ninth grade. I was still at, like, a regular school, and then I switched to a private prep school, played basketball there. And then I started AAU. I had the opportunity to play for Team Canada as well, which was pretty fun. But then I ended up over here.
So how did you pick Marquette?
I mean, the family culture, all the relationships, really prestigious academic school, which is also something that I really looked at. Not too far from home, not too close to home. But the girls there were awesome. Some of them are still here, but, I mean, even being able to meet these girls as well, it's been really great. The coaching switch, I mean, there's still a balance, which is really, really nice to have.
So what was your best in gymnastics, what?
Beam and floor.
So you watched the Olympics?
I did.
Well, you can give an insight that we have no ability to because we didn't do it. So what amazes you about either individuals or the performance?
I mean, I think as individuals, I think being able to separate, like, even for the college gymnasts that were in the Olympics, there was one girl in high school, but I mean, being able to separate that move mentalities and switch it over, I think that was really cool to see and see them able to compete at their best regardless of the ups and downs that they had, which is really cool.
You had to dream of being an Olympian. Everybody in gymnastics.
Yeah. I mean, a girl can dream.
All right.
Yeah.
right. Speaking with Skylar Forbes and also with Olivia Porter. All right. Now, I did my work. let's see. What was I told about Olivia Porter? She's going to lead this team. She will lead this team. Wow. What was I told about Skylar Forbes? She could be really good. They didn't just say good. They said really good. Well, either of you can comment on either of those. It seems that Olivia is a little more willing to speak, so...
I got it first. Yes. I think Liv is a great leader.
Oh, it's Liv?
Oh, yeah.
It's just Liv?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll write that down.
I mean, coming in, us not really knowing each other, I think she really stepped up. She knew Coach before any of us did. So her being able to lead off the court, on the court, it's been amazing to have, and we're really, really happy to have her. So
what does she like most, or what do you think, Bob? I mean, with a point guard, you got to be doing what she wants.
I mean, I think we have pretty good chemistry, if you ask me. She's able to find me. I'm able to find her. And, I mean, for the most part, I feel like we're always on the same page.
So Liv, is Skylar Sky, or did I miss that, or...
No, Skylar's really good. I mean,
thanks.
she's a five, but she's not really a five. Like, she's really a guard, so she can take.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, she can move out there. She can shoot the three really well. I mean, consistently too. Pick and pop. That's one thing that I tell her to do, especially when we down three. Like, because people don't expect her to, like, you know, they might back off me, and you know that leaves her an open shot if we icing and stuff like that. So she can shoot that. At a really good clip, she could take off the dribble.
So you want her to take the five?
I want her to take the five.
I want her to take the three, even though she...
Oh, yes, because she can make it.
At any time.
At any time. People in her face contested. I mean, there was one time she made like six threes, I want
to
say.
All right, this is what I love to ask a point guard. All right, in a perfect world, where do you think you want to get the ball to her? Where do you want her to be, and what do you think she'll want to do? With a game on the line, I don't know if you're down two or down three. You're bringing it up, and you know... I gotta make the perfect play to get Skylar in the right spot, taking the shot that I know will score.
I think we're gonna go on the wing and do a pick and pop. Me drag her defender out, and get it.
Is she right? Is she right?
Yeah, I really like the wing spot. That's for sure.
Okay, Liv, what do you got to do to take care of your point guard?
I mean, always making sure she's good, even after, like, a mess-up or something she does really well, we'll always make sure to get up, get at her, and keep encouraging her. I think she sees everything really, really well. She has the ability to pass the ball incredibly well. She's amazing to have.
Oh, all right, outside of basketball, what do you think people should know about you the most?
I like to
TikTok?
Sleep. I like to sleep. I love...
you like to sleep.
Yeah.
You're not old enough to like to sleep.
Oh, man.
Like, what do you like? What do you mean? Like, the day after... Like, you like to... Explain liking to sleep.
I am not a morning person.
All right, okay.
I'm asleep till about 12 p.m.
You'd like to not have to get up till noon.
Yeah.
Nap time is essential.
Amen.
What?
Yeah.
Do you like to get up at noon, or will you get up earlier than noon?
I'm a morning person, but I like to get a little nap in throughout the day if I can. So
you need to know to leave Liv alone, even though you're up early. Because that's the problem with morning people. Oh. With people that aren't morning people, there can be issues.
I mean, I'm really quiet in the morning, but we also don't live in the same building, so.
Right.
Yeah, but.
You'll be on the road, trips and stuff.
That too.
Have you informed the coach that you'd like all meetings afternoon because you like to sleep?
Yeah, they know that I am not a morning person, but that doesn't mean we still don't get up.
Well, I'm
an excuse. I will
be checking to see what time the first meeting is, because that will tell me how much the point guard is in control. Would you agree, Skylar?
I guess so.
All right. Well, you both get the last word. Whatever you want to tell people, Marquette fans are listening. What do you want to tell them, either about yourself or the team?
I think this team is going to be fun to watch, so make sure y'all come to games, support us, be loud, cheer for us.
And if they need any help on what it's like in any city in the country, you might be able to help.
That's your girl. That is your girl. Yeah.
I can't believe they don't call you Sky.
They do.
They do?
Yeah, Sky,
all
the
right,
whole
and what do you want to tell people the last
I mean, I'd second that. I think our team will be really fun to watch this year. having a crowd would be great, and we'd really appreciate all the fans that could come out.
Thanks for the time.
Of course. Thank you
for having us.
Now, was that easy?
Yeah.
Piece of cake.
Piece of cake.
Skylar Forbes and Liv Olivia Porter. Shaka Smart next.
This is special Marquette coverage from the Marquette Athletics Block Party on 94.5 ESPN.
It is the Marquette Barbecue. We got to women's basketball, and now it's men's basketball with Shaka Smart. Good evening, Coach.
It is great to be here with you, Homer. It's been too long.
It has been. All right, let's go. What are you reading? What are you thinking about? My first question every time we talk will always be, what has your mind? What are you reading, thinking about? Here's a better question. What are you most curious about now?
Well, I got a lot going on in my mind, but I spent a day last week down in Tuscaloosa with their football team, and I've been replaying that day in my mind.
Why?
For the last 6 days. Why did I do it?
Yeah.
To learn.
Well, but I don't know who's the coach. What's the relationship?
Kalen DeBoer is the head coach. Obviously replaced the legend Nick Saban. Went down there, watched him practice. Got a chance to sit in on.
Did you know him before, or were you fascinated with the guy replacing Saban?
A little bit of both. Yeah, and it was fascinating hearing from staff members that have been a part of both staffs to hear about two completely different systems and styles of going about things before you even talk about football. But, you know, both just incredibly high-level operations. And I think there's so much to be learned from football, particularly this time of year for us as basketball coaches.
Explain.
Well, I'll try to make it a brief explanation.
Yeah, we like the junior high level.
No, it's not that. It's just a matter of time. Their organization, their work ethic, their attention to detail with their players. I got a chance to sit in on two different position room meetings, and the way that they show film to their players, the way that they, you know, command their guys' attention and attention to detail and awareness. They quiz the guys, you know, nonstop in those sessions.
Different from the way you do it?
Different from, I would say, the way that basketball does it. I think those guys, because of their game, it's so technical. They put such a premium on minute details that have to be right, and I think there's a lot we can take from that.
Will it change what you do in any way this year or in the future?
Well, it's just from the standpoint of you get ideas and you see things that staffs are doing, you get motivated from being around other staffs. And it maybe sparks some ideas, but it's not like it's a fundamental change. But, yeah, certainly we steal some things from them and take it with us.
The first thing everybody says about Marquette is, how does Shaka do it? Nobody leaves. Nobody's involved in the transfer portal to a degree that may not have been equaled by any other big-time basketball or football program. What's your answer?
Our guys enjoy the experience here at Marquette. I think there's three things that go into guys wanting to come back. Number one, the relationships they have, primarily with their teammates. You know, coaches certainly are part of that, but more than anything, the way Cam Jones feels about Stevie Mitchell and David Joplin, and that's, you know, those guys being here together for a fourth consecutive year. In addition to Cam Brown, who's a big part of that class. Number two, the experience they have at Marquette, and as we know and we've talked about so many times, this organization, this university, this basketball program has always provided such an awesome experience for the players and coaches that have the privilege of being part of it. Part of that experience is for sure winning. In other words, if you are in a winning program, you're a lot less likely to leave than you are if you're part of a losing program. And then number three, I think there's pragmatic elements, you know, today in 2024 that impact retention, playing time, name, image, and likeness, and all that stuff is certainly a pragmatic element that, you know, goes into to you know, what people probably factor into what they do. So all those things combine, and I think we have a great situation here at Marquette, and our guys recognize that.
People have told me when I acted like, man, it's just such a mess. They go, oh, we're calm down. College sports is still great. College basketball is still great. There are some different things, but the joy and all those parts of the things that it creates, still, that's still the story. Is that accurate?
Absolutely, it's still accurate, and it's a little bit of a mess. Okay. So it's probably both. But, you know, all the great things still exist. I think anyone that, you know, moans and complains about college sports and says all the, you know, the positives of what it used to be are gone, I completely disagree with that. The kids are just as great as they've always been. The games are just as exciting, if not more, than they've ever been. You know, the fans are awesome. You know, we set a lot of records last year with our fans. We just set another one, Homer. Just broke the season ticket record already, and it's still August, you know, for this upcoming year in terms of number of season tickets sold. So if anyone says, well, you know, college sports or college basketball has gone down, that's a lot of evidence that refutes that. At the same time, it is a crazy, chaotic landscape that, you know, I was on the phone with the commissioner of our league today. Even she doesn't know where things are necessarily going to be in 6 months or 12 months. But we just got to do the best we can to stay on top of where things are and support our guys.
People ask me, well, what do you know about the Marquette team? And I go, Sock is the coach. They'll be in the tournament, and let's just see how far they go. There's probably more to it than that, because there's no Tyler Kolick, there's no Oso, and they were so special in so many ways. That's a big change.
Well, I appreciate your confidence in us. I remember being here with you at the barbecue.
I said that the first year.
3 years
ago. It hasn't changed.
And you said, you guys are going to the tournament. And I believed it, but I think you and I were in the minority, so I appreciate you speaking that into existence. You're exactly right. Tyler and Oso were such special leaders, first and foremost, and players, that there will certainly be a lot of moments, especially early in the year, where you look at Tony or I look at our staff and all of us say or think, man, it'd be nice to have Tyler in that situation, or it'd be nice to have Oso. But you know what? That's college basketball. Guys move on. I'm sure, you know, Purdue's going to be looking at each other saying, hey, we'd love to have Zach Edey, or UConn's going to be looking at each other saying, we'd love to have Klingon out there. I mean, it's guys move on. We have 10 returning players that we're super excited about, Homer. Those guys are not Tyler and Oso, but they are guys that have contributed to, you know, 56 wins in the last 2 years here at Marquette. Guys like Chase Ross that we feel like can take a significant step forward. We're excited to see that.
My number one question, I think, is, not really a question, is I want to observe Cam Jones, who I know has to be driven to prove that he can be a point guard, that he can lead. Everybody knows he can score, and he can still score whenever he wants. But I would think that Cam Jones wants to prove to the world the other abilities and skills that he has, because they're needed more on this team than in the past, or is that?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the six-game stretch we had when Tyler was hurt. I believe he played close to 95% of the minutes in those games. But not to get too, you know, nerdy on you in terms of statistics, but his assist rate on our offensive possessions in those six games was almost double what it was when Tyler was playing. So he demonstrated during that small segment of time he can pass it, he can move it around. Now, to your point, he's going to have to do that consistently with defenses, you know, making adjustments for him and keying on him. But Homer, he had the best summer that he's had since he's been here. I think he's continuing to gain maturity, and absolutely there's a lot on his shoulders.
And you have to move on, but I can't. Every time I see David Joplin for the rest of his life, I'll say, thanks for those two free throws against Colorado. Forever! Now, you, of course, demand other things and want to move on, but he owns that forever.
We love him. He's a special young man, senior year, and what we're looking for now is for him to step forward like seniors do and, you know, have a career best year in literally every way.
And you get the last word. What do you want to tell all the Marquette fans in the middle of the summer as you get ready for another season?
Well, I want to tell all the Marquette fans that I have never been more excited to get to Fiserv Forum and see this year's version of Marquette basketball. I'm so grateful for our fans. You know, we've already set a high for season tickets, but there's no finish line, Homer. You know, we're going after more. We want to make Fiserv Forum an unstoppable home court advantage. I love the fact that the students are back. I mean, it feels so special on campus to have that energy here. And just, you know, looking forward to our students, our fans, getting a chance to really build it with this year's team, because each year's team is a little bit different.
I speak for everyone. Thanks for being you.
Man, I love this place.
I know.
Grateful for you.
Thank you. Shaka Smart, the players, next at the Marquette Barbecue. Man, this is terrible. We only got 5 minutes for Zaid Lowry and Trey Norman. All right, Zaid, you tell us everything we need to know about Trey.
You know, he's one of our point guards. You know, I was just I had an interview with one of the guys I had met at this donor event, and I was telling him, he was like, who's the most improved player right now? And, you know, I kind of gave him a little rundown of what Trey was doing this summer. He was changing his shot, you know. It took him a little while, and I told him, like, now, like, workouts, all that, you can see that his shot is improving. He's making a lot more shots. And, you know, I just give him praise for that, for taking the time to fix his shot.
All right, what'd you change about your shot? Let's go.
I just changed my set point, my release point, and just trying to make it more of a one-motion thing instead of two motions, and it's been working out for me.
Is it working good?
Yeah.
All right, now you tell us about Zaid.
Zaid has a big year two load in.
He's changed his number, right?
He changed his number. But that's just a little bit. But he's been putting a lot of work in the summer. He's one of our top defenders, one of our top shooters, and one of our top athletes on the team. So it's a lot.
But you're all good athletes. Why do you say he's one of the top?
But
athletes.
He's one of the top. Him, Chase, and Sean are like by far top three. So he's one of the top because he just moves a little different than the rest of us. It's kind of, if you watch, you can see, like, he just does things a lot of us can't do.
Like, for example, like?
Like catching the ball when it gets off the rim and dunking it back in the hoop. A lot of us can't do that. And he's just fast. Like, if you've seen him run a hill, like we did conditioning today. If you've seen him run a hill, you'd be like, wow, that man is fast. And he used to play football, so it kind of stems from that.
Yeah, that kind of helps me.
Is all that true? Would you?
It is very true. Yes.
I mean, my thought of you was that the guy can just jump like crazy, like almost fly. That's how I judge it. How much is it like flying? And yet you have a 3-point shot that's almost a set. It's like a soft, which doesn't fit somebody that jumps like that. How do I do, Trey? Is my scouting anything close to the truth?
Yeah, it's like. He's super athletic. He'll like drive and like dunk on you, but then again, he can make the three.
Right.
So,
but he doesn't try to show you all that jumping and ability. Yeah. The three is more. Yeah. It almost reminded me like Magic Johnson, where it's not a set shot, but you don't. It's a totally different skill or body movement than the rest of the way you play. Yeah. True or not?
True. Very true.
Now, you know what everybody wants me to ask both of you.
What?
So, what's Shaka Smart really like? Come on, everybody likes Shaka Smart. He's a great guy, but he's your coach. What's the one thing you better not do or Shaka will be unhappy? Trey?
Palms up in practice, complaining, palms showing up. Like weakness. He hates that.
And well, hold on. Palms up.
Palms up. Like say a call don't go my way. Say like he calls a foul and I didn't foul the guy. And like I'm like, oh my god, like
oh,
palms
and your
up.
Palms go
yeah,
up.
Yeah, like literally,
you can't ever have your palms up.
Literally, palms up is like one of his biggest pet peeves.
But it's the attitude, and he sees that. Yeah. Like if you had the attitude, like if I was on the team, I'd have the attitude, but I'd make sure my palms are down.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
and then another thing is, you know, we talk a lot about multiple efforts. You know, one, two, three multiple efforts is going to get the job done. There was a couple times this summer where we had guys just giving just a couple efforts, and, you know, it wasn't enough to get a team stop. So
explain that, like 1, 2, 3 means.
So, like, if I was to close out on a shooter and he pump fake, drove past me, I need to be able to get back in the play and contest again and then fly out to, you know, close out to a different guy. You know, we got a lot of guys that can fly around on our team. So, you know, if we do that, we'll have a good year.
Trey?
Yeah, it's exactly what you said. Multiple efforts is just not giving up on the first effort. So, like, if you try, like you said, you try to block somebody and then you obviously get out the play, not just sitting there and then making it a 5-on-4. Like, you want to fight back and scram, and you see it a lot in the way we play.
All right, what does he like the most? What do you know when you go, man, coach going to like that?
Defense. You know, we talk a lot about defense. We got everybody on our team is going to be able to guard this year at a high level, and that's something I'm excited about.
He loves. I would say he loves rebounding, especially offensive rebounding. That's one of our biggest like things we need to work on is just grabbing offensive rebounds, getting second chance shots. So I feel like that's one of his biggest things.
All right. You both got 10 seconds. Hey, say whatever you want to say to Marquette fans.
Go ahead.
Appreciate you guys. Come out to the games and, you know, support us, and we'll do everything in our ability to make you guys happy.
And, Trey, you were able to put on your hat, exactly. But you had to agree to do what from Coach?
I had to agree to get my shoulders forward on my shot and guard my ASS off.
All right. Have a great season.
Appreciate right, you. Thank you.
Trey Norman, Zade Lowry. That'll do it from the barbecue. Giannis's brother, next.